In the first chapter of Lily King's new novel, The English Teacher, Vita Avery impulsively accepts a marriage proposal from a widower she has been dating. For 15 years, Vita has led a circumspect and almost cocooned life, a single parent raising a son and teaching English at the local private school. Miss King's book explores the pull of the past, the corruptions of secrets, the longing for family, and the redemptive and destructive powers of literature. It's published by Atlantic Monthly Press, and I'm very pleased to welcome Lily King to my show today. Hello.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Your protagonist's profession is teaching English, which makes all kinds of language and literary allusions possible. Did that make it more interesting to write because you didn't have to hold back?
Yes. It's funny because I've started my third one, and I can't believe that I don't have access to that world anymore, that the characters that I'm writing about, one's too young and one is not educated enough, and I miss it. I miss being able to tap into all of those novels just willy-nilly anyway that I want to.
And Vita is enamored of literature, but we usually think of literature as a bridge to a deeper understanding of the world. Vita has used it more as a way of insulating herself from the real world.
I was really interested in creating a character who's teaching all of these great books with all of these wonderful life lessons and unable in any way to learn from them. And
get anything from the insights that the great writers give us.
And she is teaching students who are really getting it and seeming to love her as a teacher, and yet she's just sort of this empty vessel, and nothing is going in for her until three chapters into the novel. And then, of course, I make it so that she has to start learning these lessons eventually.
Well, literature is a form of therapy for Vita. We see her exercising projections and denials and struggling with her life as she reads.
Yes.
And she reveals far more of herself and her conflicts when she's teaching English than she does in the normal course of her life. So you must have thought about the purpose that literature should serve, or do you think about that? As a writer, do you think, gee, what is my job here?
I try not to think about that too much because it kind of can freak me out. I have been an English teacher, and you definitely run into that question a lot. Because you often feel that you are teaching these books I taught high school for a long time, to people who haven't had any life experience to be able to apply them. And you wonder, when is the best time to be given these books to read? Oftentimes it does seem too early in high school. So with Vita, she had a tremendous life experience, one particularly traumatic life experience that makes her, forces her into this cocoon-like existence that she's sort of cobbled together on this island at this private school campus. And
I won't reveal what that is, although some reviewers have, and I wonder if that bothers you.
You know, it doesn't. We talked a lot about it at my publishing house, whether we were going to reveal that in the jacket flap or not.
But there's something of a mystery here, and you wait a while to tell us. We can kind of guess at why
Yes.
she's as closed off as she is.
Yes, because it was never a... Well, that's really not true. I was about to say it's because it's never been a secret to me. But in fact, for 2 years while I was writing it, I kept on saying to myself, why is she like this? Why is she like this? And then... slowly she revealed, her past came out very slowly to me.
So you're not one of those writers who starts off knowing everything she needs to know about her characters?
No, I'm not at all. I had an idea of the emotional arc of her story, but I didn't know the particulars until I got going.
Another technique of hers, an English teacher technique that she uses to keep the world at bay, is to do a kind of critical commentary on her life, to evaluate it. And I wonder if that isn't also true of a novelist. Do you tend to look at your experiences with an eye towards shaping them into fiction? And when you're at dinner with people and somebody says something really interesting, do you suddenly go off on a little reverie and think of
yes.
how you're going to wind up using this somewhere down the line?
Well, I don't think it's so direct for me, but I do think that people become writers because they're observers. You know, they're able to hopefully, if they're sort of socially well-adjusted, that they're able to live in the world, but they also can pull back. And I think it was exciting to write about a character who is doing that, because I do it so often.
Well, she evaluates the behavior of people around her like a critic, and almost like a teacher, but she's often wrong about not just the intentions of them, but also the facts.
Yes. Everything for Vita is colored by this basically sexual trauma that she's had many years before, and it has reduced her observational powers to such an extent that she's an extremely unreliable narrator.
In fact, well, although you haven't made her a first-person narrator here.
No, but we slip into her head and see her faulty observations.
And why wouldn't you have made her the first-person narrator?
I think I made the decision. My first novel was first-person, and I think I just very objectively and intellectually made the decision I am not going to write another first-person novel.
And that novel we're talking about is The Pleasing Hour, which was a New York Times notable book and also won the Barnes & Noble Discover Award and was a BookSense selection. Mm-hmm. So you started off with a lot of good response to your work.
Yes, I was very, very fortunate, and it definitely put a lot of pressure to her for the second one.
It's interesting that you've given Vita the name Vita. Mm. It means life, doesn't it?
It does. And I as a writer and also as a reader, I shy away from that kind of really blatant symbolism. She was Vita way before I knew how much the word life was going to play a part in the book.
Well, she has many experiences where she sees the events of her life as not really happening, but being only a rehearsal for the true mm-hmm. moment. And then you begin the novel with a really intriguing sentence. That she had not killed him in her sleep was still the great relief of every morning.
Yeah.
She's speaking of her 15-year-old son, and although many parents of adolescents might well be able to identify with that feeling, it still does grab us.
Yeah. When I wrote it, I had, I had one child and one child on the way. There's definitely a fear. I mean, I think so many parents go through it of are they still going to be there in the morning?
In fact, parents often check their infants to see if they're still breathing.
Because, yes.
Because infants can sleep so in such a still way.
Yes. And I know that when my first daughter started sleeping through the night, I was so torn between wanting to wake her up and wanting her to get the sleep finally. And so that plays into it a little bit. But, of course, Vita is scared, you know, that she somehow is going to be responsible for his demise. And that obviously takes it to parenting to a whole different level and plays into her terrible guilt as a parent, her fear that she is slowly ruining his life.
Well, she worries about the emotion of where love meets anger.
Mm-hmm. She has a lot of anger.
In the first chapter, we also have Lily accept a marriage proposal from Tom.
Vita, yes.
Vita, I'm sorry. Boy, I'm sure you're nothing like Vita.
No.
He arrives unannounced, and she's surprised. They just don't seem to have the kind of relationship where somebody drops in on the other one. And she thinks he's come to break up with her. She's up to this point in her life anything but impulsive.
She's
even dreading the date that they're supposed to have.
Exactly. Somehow, in the summer that happens before the fall when this book begins, she had accepted a few dates. I mean, she won't even bring herself to call it a date with a man, and he's just lost his wife about a year and a half earlier, and so he's very emotionally vulnerable and really, I think, not thinking all that clearly and seeing Vita in a different way than she really is. And
they do not seem like an ideal couple, two middle-aged adults with lots of history. They haven't even slept together. Vita is teaching Thomas Hardy's Tess of the D'Urbervilles in her D'Urbervilles. I don't know why I said D'Urbervilles in her high school class. And Thomas Hardy pops up in this book a number of times. Also, one of his poems.
Yes.
Are you telling the reader something by these through these references to Hardy?
Well, I wanted to really locate her teaching in one book. I think it's. I actually had several books going at first, but my editor made me reduce the literary allusions.
Well, Hardy is surely a great writer, both of fiction and of poetry, but also one of the more depressing writers
yes.
in the canon.
Yes, and Vita's story, at least what's happened to Vita up until this point, and for some of the book too, is quite a tragedy. And I was interested in exploring her teaching this tragedy, you know, again and again, being very successful at teaching it, but not getting it. And then finally events happen which force her to start understanding how that book could connect with her life.
The American hostages are taken in Iran on the day of her wedding, and the images of the hostages and their captivity are scattered through the book. What did you hope to achieve by incorporating that historical event?
You know, that historical event was the very, very, very first seed of this book. It was the first thing. I was reading this essay early in the morning, and I thought, what if I wrote a novel that was framed by the hostage crisis? And the minute I sort of thought that, I mean, just I think those thoughts all the time, but I suddenly, the characters and the mood and the setting and everything just came instantly, really within a few hours.
Well, we're also talking about a woman who's a hostage of her own emotions. And
yeah.
you wonder whether secrets corrupt life. Is it possible to ever leave your past behind?
I think that doesn't make for a great novel. So I think it probably is true. And Vita
maybe,
could
but
have
not
carried
with something
on.
As big as and emotional as what happened to Vita.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the book is called The English Teacher, and it is published by Atlantic Monthly Press. My great thanks to Lily King for being my guest today.
Thank you so much.